thinking about the subject matter, right, throughout. I was thinking that the, what the best way would be to try to fix the problem is to, would probably be most concerned with the batteries, throughout. And I would say that basically there are three. First of all, what is Eretz-Yisrael? And what exactly is Eretz-Yisrael in terms of Yahdus? What does it mean? And then the question is, what is it physically? What is Eretz-Yisrael physically? First of all, I can't walk away from Eretz-Yisrael. What does it mean to us? And how should we feel about Eretz-Yisrael? How should we feel about Eretz-Yisrael? In other words, we know that there are other countries that have their that have land, that have their own possession, their own property, and a certain feeling that a person has for something which is theirs. Is that the same feeling that we should have for Eretz-Yisrael, or is it different? As far as what Eretz-Yisrael is, does anyone know what Eretz-Yisrael actually is? Like Yalaha? Point Yalaha, what is Eretz-Yisrael? Oh, yeah. Okay? Let's say we're Rambam. Rambam mentions what Eretz-Yisrael is. And the Rambam is to be found in Hilchos Trumos, Perek Aleph. The Rambam says this, Perek Aleph, Halacha Beis. The Rambam says, Eretz-Yisrael ha'amura b'chol makom, hi ba'aratzos she'kivshan melech Yisrael, on Navi yidas rov Yisrael. It says it's any lands which was captured by a Melech Yisrael or a Navi with the consent of most of the Bnei Yisrael. Avraham Ram says, Yochad Yisrael, an individual, a Mishkach or a family or a Shevet, Jehovah v'kavshu v'kivshu la'atzman makom, afilu min ha'aret shenitna la'avram, eina mitra Eretz Yisrael, v'dei she'ina gubo kol ha'metzis. He says, now even if a certain individual should go and capture land in Eretz Yisrael, even if he captures the land with Yehuda Avraham Avinu, that's not considered Eretz Yisrael in terms of Mitzvahs of Tuyas Baris. He says that's why the Neza Cholak Yeshua based Dino Kol Eretz Yisrael Shvatim. That's why Yeshua and his Benzin, they divided up all the lands before the Kibush, before the actual Kibush. There was Shevash Achilgu and Shevash Kibshu. Why? Today shall ye be Kibush Yochid Kishiyala Kol Shevim Shevim Yehuda Shulchat. So it should be considered the conquest of an individual tribe, but it must be the conquest only of Rove of the Melech Yisrael, Aldas Rove Yisrael. Then only does that have to be Eretz Yisrael. That's why the Rambam goes on to say like this. He says, "For Rachos Shekibesh David, Kutz Laretz Canaan, all the lands that David captured outside of Eretz Canaan, Kigon Aram Narayim Aram Tova." Even though he wasn't of Israel, Balpi Bezdin Hagadol, who was said he was acting according to the Bezdin, which expresses the das of Eretz Yisrael, ain't no cares Yisrael the whole davar. The local chutzlars the whole davar. Why? It says Yotzim the call chutzlars. It's not like chutzlars, nor is it like Eretz Yisrael. It says Neima Yotzim Malas Eretz Yisrael. Why isn't it considered Eretz Yisrael? This outside of Canaan, outside of the land of Yehuda Avraham. Because he captured these lands before he captured all of Eretz Canaan. However, if he would have captured them after he captured all of Eretz Canaan, then it would have been considered Eretz Yisrael, 100%. But since he didn't do that, but he didn't drive out the Zionists first, but he simply went to conquer other lands before he conquered Eretz Canaan. So then, that's why it was not considered Eretz Yisrael. Vilu tafas kol Eretz Canaan who will say va'achar kach kibesh aratos acheres ha'yo kibush kulo ke Eretz Yisrael l'chol dova. So in other words, according to the Rambam, it comes out that, let's say that Ramel, for instance, conquered the entire Eretz Yisrael, all land of Canaan, and then he'd go and come to America and conquer California. California be Eretz Yisrael? Yes, 100%, that's been Eretz Yisrael. Okay? So now at least we know what we're talking about when we define the term Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Pidin, is not necessarily Eretz Canaan, but it's any land which was conquered by Melech Yisrael, Al Pidash Rov Yisrael, after they conquered Eretz Canaan. Okay? That's simply what Eretz Yisrael is. don't want to get involved in the sort of manner. So I always keep a shot because Ram goes on in between to explain what's the state of their soul of manners and like a chumma is my thought for Shem, whether for instance chumma today, whether it's in that Torah, whether it's in Ravana. Because since we don't have Rabbi Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, the Ram says that's not considered, so you don't have a creative chumma to remove the rest. But as I was, I just want to mention, we should know what we're talking about when we're speaking about Eretz Yisrael. Now the question is, what exactly, this is what Eretz Yisrael is physically. But what is Eretz Yisrael in Yahadis conceptually? We always hear, we speak about Abbas Eretz Yisrael. What is Abbas Eretz Yisrael? Is Abbas Eretz Yisrael a separate type of thing? Or is it somehow tied in with the rest of the Torah? And if it's tied in with the rest of the Torah, in what way specifically is it tied in with the rest of the Torah? Okay? I know that how do most of you feel about it? In terms of Abbas Eretz Yisrael, is that a separate thing or is it tied with the Torah? Does anyone feel that it's a separate thing? Yeah. So it is tied with Torah. Now the tied with Torah, we have to know in what way is it tied with Torah. As what? So I want to explain one thing. Namely, that what we hold, we do not in any way make light the concept of Abbas Eretz Yisrael. On the contrary, after I get finished explaining what we go through ourselves, we'll see what Abbas Eretz Yisrael really is. But it is different than the simple idea that most people have of Abbas Eretz Yisrael. It's a different idea. Okay, now if you want to understand Abbas Eretz Yisrael in terms of the rest of the mitzvahs and Torah, I mean, what should our method be? How should we go about it? How should we go about it? I mean, how should we discover what Eretz Yisrael is really in terms of the whole system of the Torah? What is it? Is it a separate thing? In other words, a separate thing to love this man? That has that thing with the rest of the mitzvahs. What shackles does it have with the rest of the mitzvahs? Any suggestions? Take a look at the Torah about Eretz Yisrael. You find the Eretz Yisrael is mentioned insofar as the brachos are concerned, constantly, as far as the brachos are concerned, and lehepa, also by the polis, by the tefa. But the psukim are numerous psukim that you have, which mentions about the kibush Eretz Yisrael and how kibush Eretz Yisrael is tied in with shmiras and mitzvos. The time of shmiras. Why are you get tishmiras and mishpatam eila? The shmaratim vasisa maysam. And then the tassa goes on. Kisano bilvav kol rama ben ma'ilim me'echad u'marashim le'isimim ma'am. All the concept of kibush Eretz Yisrael, which is tied in constantly in the Torah with the shmiras on his face. The shemati saw shemat the lasse says. Kol mitzvah perkasivam. One case, bloodlet. Kol mitzvah shanechem etzav koyim tishmurun lasseis. Laman tichyun revisem uvasem virishtem es aretz. Hashem nishvad Hashem lavesem. Okay, so Tosk says, and if you listen to the mitzvahs, so then you will live and multiply with Vasim Yerushim Esaretz. Then the Tzukim Perkes in general, it's a lot about Yerushim. Then you have like this, and it says, V'shemadas mitzvah Hashem lekecha v'aleches b'drocha v'liyiro, he said. Ked Hashem lekecha m'viyacho al Eretz Teva, Eretz nachalim moyim, ayonis sohimais yetzim b'abiko v'ahor. Alright? He shomalokol, in the same time, he shomalokol can teach kakas of Hashem lekecha. We will teach shmor mitzvaysov, umishpata v'chukaysov. Asher mechi mitzah v'cho ayyeh. Does anybody understand the translation? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. The Pasuk says that you should be careful lest you forget the mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you don't keep the mitzvahs. So then, the Pasuk go on, the Pasuk says, V'hoyam shechoyah tishkach asav Hashem lekecha, if you forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'alachta harei alim achayim avadatam, v'eshtach avisu lehem, ha'idaisi b'cham hayem, ki ovoi k'ideidon. You will be lost. Kagoyim asher ad Hashem ma'amid mitnechem. Just like the other nations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now is chasing away from before you, kain k'ideidon. Eikev le'sishmu b'kevar Hashem lekecha. So therefore, you see that the mitzvahs, shmiras ha-mitzvahs, avas Hashem, is always part of Eretz Yisrael.
always has that smell. There's no such thing as so to say. As a matter of fact, the Pasuk says that it's the moment that you don't keep the mitzvahs, that's the end of Eretz Yisrael. Okay. So Eretz Yisrael, as an end in itself, without shmiras and mitzvahs, is clear from the Torah that there is no, has no value. The only time that Eretz Yisrael is given to Klal Yisrael, when? Only when it's accompanied with shmiras and mitzvahs. But there's no shmiras and mitzvahs, that's open to the Pasuk. There's no shmiras and mitzvahs, there's no Eretz Yisrael. Okay, I don't think anybody asked that, no question about it. Then you have, again, you have in the Teichacha, Yisavai. Foundations of your force, your protective, all your protective devices will be torn apart. And the Pesukim go on, and the Pesukim say, yes, the Eishuva. Constantly mention the Eretz Yisrael in terms of Shmiras HaMitzvahs and Halilah when there's no Shmiras HaMitzvahs, there's no Eretz Yisrael. Now, so what is Eretz Yisrael if that's the case? What is Eretz Yisrael? If that is the case, what is Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is to be defined in the class of those things which are considered the brachos, which are the brachos, the good, the tayyib, the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us when we keep the mitzvahs. Correct? Therefore, we see, if we want to understand Eretz Yisrael in particular, you have to understand the entire group of things from which Eretz Yisrael is a part. Because Eretz Yisrael isn't a unique, separate thing. But Eretz Yisrael is a thing, is one of the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers good and gives to us as a good when we keep his mitzvahs. Correct? Okay, does everybody follow? Okay, now the question is like this. So therefore, now the question that we asked originally, which was, how do we understand Eretz Yisrael, right? So I guess I said, how should we approach it? So we have to take a look at the Torah, see what class of things it falls under. So we decided that it falls under those class of things which are the good that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us because we keep them ourselves, right? Now the question is, how do we understand those goods? Correct? Now we have the class. But now how do we understand those goods? Okay, they're good. In what way are they good? How are they good? How do we relate to these things? That's the question. Correct? Okay. So let's take a look at that point. To answer that point, really, you have to have the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva. The Rambam is in Hilchos Tshuva. The Achashin knows that. Rambam talks about in Perek Tes, he speaks about what is the Matan Schar and Shalmas Tes. What is the good that a person gets out of keeping the mitzvahs? The Rambam says in Perek Tes, he says, "Atayvat zvulun tzadikin bichayev el mabok." That's the good. The good is the everlasting existence that a person has post mortem. "Veyachayim she'en mavasai ahim lahem." "Va'atayvah she'en yimor ra." And that is the ultimate good. "Ushakosav batara." This is what the Torah means when it says, "Ramayim yitavah." "Va'arachta yonav." And your days will be lengthened. And in Pina Shua Londu, Chazal interpreted, Laman Yitavlach, now this is the Masera from the Meshur Tan, this is the Shad the Pasuk. Laman Yitavlach, La'ilam Shekulei Tayyib. Ma'arachta Yamin, La'ilam Shekulei Ara. The Zeru Olam Abba. That was everlasting good, the eternal good is Olam Abba, because it's everlasting, it's continuous, constant, and it is the greatest good. Okay, now the Rambam says this. Me'acha Shenoda, Shematan Shchorin Shel Mitzvos. Since it is known already, there was the benefit of the presence of Mitzvos. Va'atova Sheniskela, the good that we will receive from it, in Shaman Adar HaRashem, Akasa Batara, Hichai Olam Abba. Shenema Laman Yitavlach HaRach Leon. Va'anakama Shenoda Min Rishoyim. And the evil which HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge, I mean, use metaphorically, takes revenge on Hashem, She'ozru Orchos HaTzedek, HaKsuvah Batara, the Akoris. That's the Council of Kurs, when the person cut off. She'enema Akoris, Kurs Nefshe, Yavanibo, which means the person fails to receive this ultimate good. So then he asks the question, he says, Ma'u Zeshe Kosu Bokhova Terakula? Why does it say in the whole Terak? In Tishmelu Yehilachan Kach. In Leitishmu, you grow up at Gershankah. The Chol is not born by Lom Hazet. Ram says, so why is it that the Torah mentions all the things which are good and are bad, and the Torah speaks in terms of Lom Hazet? If you know, Zatik Shmech and Be'itam. All the goods that are mentioned in the Torah are all simply physical goods, physical things. But the Ram says, what is the ultimate good? The ultimate good, really, is Olam Haba, which is not physical. So why is the Torah, mention one word about Olam Haba? The Torah only says one thing, that if you do the good, then you'll have certain physical benefits. As a matter of fact, many of our critics say, I mean, the ones that criticize Yahadis, they say that the Torah doesn't hold from Olam Haba. Let's say the Torah doesn't mention Olam Haba. In other words, the Torah is Olam Haba mentioned. So they say that this seems to imply that Olam Haba was something which was invented by the Chum letter. Why is it the Rambam said the Torah doesn't mention a word about Olam Haba, but the Torah always mentions the good in terms of physical life? Ram mentions his example, says like this. He goes to say about the raw, satiation is a good, raw, hunger is an evil. No chama v'shalom, no chama is evil, shalom is good. Malchus, shiflus, yeshivas ha'aretz. The Ram mentions as one of those things. Why does the Ram mention one of those things? Because as we explained in the Torah, we analyze the Torah, you see, that yeshivas ha'aretz is considered one of those things which goes into the entire class of things that are, quote, called the good. The good. Now, if that's a golus, yeshiva sars is the good, golus exile, like we are, is bad. Hatzlochas maisa, person successful in his undertakings, that's a good. Hetzedai, he's unsuccessful, is bad. We should all call divrei bris, and all the things of divrei bris, Ram is the techa, because techa the brachas, because the pasuk says, at the end of Kisavah, Eilu divrei habris, asher tzivah Hashem es Moshe, lichris es b'nei Yisrael b'eretz Moav, nuvara bris, asher karas etam b'charit, at divrei habris. Okay. So the Rambam says, Kol eisan advarim, he says, emes hayu v'yiyu, to the whole words of the Torah true, everything in Torah is right, definitely what happened, v'zman shan oisim kol mitzvah sa Torah, when we keep the mitzvah of the Torah, yagiyu elein u'teveis o'ilam ha'zekuah, there's no question that we keep the mitzvah, we keep the Torah, all the good of the physical good, the good of this world will definitely reach us. And there's man shan oed malayim, and if we violate the Torah, he created our son of our royal sex of ace. That the evil which the Torah said will befall us, will indeed befall us if we violate the Torah. Tafo pikeni says, and even so, in oed son ha tevais, those goods are not safe matan schar and shal mitzvahis, are not the ultimate good for mitzvahis. V'loy oisun harois, ain seif hanakoma, shen meitmin me oivral kol mitzvahis. Neither are those evils the worst evil that can befall a person. Even though if you look through the techa, it looks pretty serious. No one would say that it's something that's inviting or enticing in any way. It looks very treacherous. Nevertheless, Ram says, that's not the worst thing. Elakachu hefer kol advarim. This is really the way it's supposed to be understood. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosam on the Torah zu eitz chayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this Torah. It is a tree of life. The Chol ha'oseh kol ha'kosuv bo v'yoyde o yideo d'mur nechayna. Whoever keeps, does the Torah, and knows it. The yodo, and he knows the Torah. Deo d'mur nechayna. A sound and complete knowledge. Zolcha bo v'chayei ha'olam ha'bo. Through that, he receives olam ha'bo. V'lefigo ma'isov v'rov chachmasa uzocha. He receives Olam Haba in proportion to his deeds and to his knowledge. The Yichonu B'Torah, not like some people think that just simply reminds it per se, a person can receive the highest word in Allah. Where do Chachma say? Both. It's a combination of Maisa and Chachma. Lo Amor Aspasa. And neither can a person has Chachma, doesn't have Maisa also. If Yichonu B'Torah, she not say also the Simcho B'Tovas Nefesh, the Negev of Chachma. So the Torah is like this, that if a person keeps the Torah and works in the Torah, all the Talmud, constantly, Sheyasur Mimeno Kol Advarim Hamonim Yimas Fan Yimas Aso. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will remove from us all those things which prevent us from keeping the Torah. Kigen Sova V'Sholom V'Ribu Kesef Ezov. I'm sorry, Kigen Chai Sukman. Kigen Chulir L'Mokom of Arav Yizmen. These things which prevent, like disease, and war, and hunger, and different similar types of things which prevent the person from spending his time in Torah, because he has to be occupied with his physical self, or has to be occupied saving his life, or occupied in battle, or other things. The Ashpil on the Kol HaTeiras HaMachzikes is your name of Vasa HaTeira. And I'll give us all the things which commit us, on the contrary, to work in Torah. He goes Seva, V'Sholem, V'Ribui Kesed Azor, like satiation and peace, and a multitude of money. Kidei Shilo Naso Kol Yaminu Dvarim Shaguf Tzarachlan. So they won't have to work all our lives with the things that the body needs, the needs of the body. And when they shave Pinuyim, they'll be able to sit with it free time. Lomay b'chokma, to learn chokma, the last says on mitzvah, to do the mitzvah. Kidei shenizke l'chai olam haba, in order that we should be able to receive the chai olam haba. Okay, v'chein lomay b'tarach, sh'yatiach b'tova l'sola ma'azeh, it's dokos yomano. Alright, and so the Torah is also that if we leave the Torah and we occupy ourselves with nonsensical things, so Shedayan Ha'emes Yosir Min Ha'oizvim Kol Teres El Mazer Shein Choski Yudayim Livot Omega Leim Kol Teres El Menuas El Menuas El Menuas Today Shein Yoyiz Dun Rishan. So then I thought it all was said, you don't deserve to have the Torah, so he piles on things for him to do. And then he spends his time, he occupies his life in those things, and he never is able to spend his time in there, he doesn't have all of them. That's what the Rambam says. So, based upon the Rambam, of course, how does Eretz Yisrael fit in? What is Eretz Yisrael really? What is the purpose? It's about to occupy time in what way? The purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that we should have a land which is ours, in which we can make kind of the mitzvos of who is Baretz, Talmud Torah, in which the entire concept of Torah can be worked out in a way that people can spend their lives learning Torah. Therefore, Eretz Yisrael is one of those things, as Rama mentions, Yeshiva Saaretz V'Golos. Rama says it explicitly. It's not only our pshat in the pasuk, but it's the Rama's pshat. In other words, the whole purpose of Eretz Yisrael is that as a means, it serves as a means, in order that once we have Eretz Yisrael, and we have the system of Torah in action in our land, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu removes from us the threats of war, threats of Mohama, and we do not have to spend much time in occupying and receiving, acquiring the things which we need, then we spend our time in doing mitzvahs and then learn Torah. Correct? So Eretz Yisrael is a means to Torah. It is a means. That's the concept of Eretz Yisrael. Now we understand how Eretz Yisrael fits in to the entire purview of Torah in general. See, because that was the question we started off with. Correct? Therefore, it's quite obvious from what we're saying that if a person has no concept of Torah, or a concept or has no value of keeping the mitzvos, then you understand very well that Eretz Yisrael as well cannot possibly have any of it. In other words, if something is a means for something else, if driving a car is a means for getting from place to place, a person who has no need to get from place to place has no need for a car, correct? Similarly, if Eretz Yisrael is a means for acquiring Torah or mitzvahs, and a person has no need for Torah or mitzvahs, or he's convinced they had no need for Torah or mitzvahs, then he cannot possibly think logically that he has a need for Eretz Yisrael. It has no value. You understand? Okay.
Derech Eretz, telling Derech Eretz and like having a plan and everything, but not, that means you're not 24 hours a day where you do other things.
Right.
I mean, you have a plan to go out and make money, have yes. Children, work for food, survive, just do your own thing. So that's taking, you're not 100% learning these things. I mean, is that considered okay?
Okay, I said okay.
From
yes.
What you just said.
Well, we're going to say our young count there. 9 hours learning, 3 hours work.
Okay.
So. How does this not realistic? In other words, it's a halacha. The person has to have a mitzvah and a parnasa. The person can't just rely on saying halanes. And we know that's a halacha. So therefore, but simultaneously, a person must be willing. Now, the Rambam and the Gemara looking. Explains, goes to great lengths to explain that really people complain about their lives. They complain about, does everyone have Martin Luther in English?
Okay.
Is there much more in the other room? The, people complain about about life in general. They say that God is a good, God didn't create a just world. That's so hard for us, and they're looking to different things. So they said like this. And those who are ignorant and perverse in their thoughts are constantly in trouble and pain because they cannot get as much of superfluous things as a certain other person possesses. They, as a rule, expose themselves to great dangers by sea voyage, service of kings, whatever those they today are different dangers, different corruptions. When they thus meet with the consequences of the course which they adopt, they complain of the decrees and judgments of God. They complain the time and wonder at the want of justice and its changes that has not enabled them to acquire great riches with which they could buy large quantities of wine. Rambam explains that the people are overcome by their own taiva, and since they're overcome by their taiva, they follow their taiva and they live a life of taiva, and then they complain. Their situation is bad. However, he says, the just person, the person who spends his time in Torah and just acquires the necessities, so he is forced by the claims of the body, they see these are good people. They seek also that which is necessary for the preservation of the body, bread to eat and garment to clothe, and this is very little. But they seek nothing superfluous. With very slight exertion, man can obtain it, so long as he is contented with that which is indispensable. All the difficulties and troubles we meet with in this respect are due to the desire for superfluous things. When we seek unnecessary things, we have difficulty even in finding that which is indispensable. So, in terms of the answer to your question, the point is, of course, the person has to involve himself in sustaining his body, sustaining himself physically, and he has to have a certain amount of material wealth in order to make ends meet. But beyond that point, as far as he involves himself beyond that point, then he's fulfilling all my
ball. Now, you made the point that, as a child, if he doesn't succeed with means as much in order to do the mitzvot, due to its pressure because of the bath, of the community of war and stuff like that. Well,
no, I don't know. Excuse me?
I mean, very simple.
I don't know.
I was saying that you said, like, if Edisar has a purpose,
yes,
to be a place that is a good thing to do the mitzvot, to live a life of Torah. Now, because of the situation of a war situation or whatever, it cannot be fulfilled. I mean, it'll be hard.
No, in other words, what we said is that the real Yish of Eretz Yisrael, which we speak about in the Torah, which means that our struggle will have us be in Eretz Yisrael without any war. That's the situation that we were looking for. Right? And that situation is one which is immediate. If the situation is one constant war, then obviously it's not going to serve its full function. No one would say that Eretz Yisrael, the way it is today, is the way the Torah described in the Brachos. That's not the way it is, right?
Okay. Now, in order to become, you know, let's say, not a threat of war, is one point to me. I mean, there are different directions, but one point, to not become a threat of war, we cannot depend on the man and they just sit back and complete make it sound, you know, be okay. Whoever is supposed to sit in his jail cell and wait for an act to happen, he has to do an action.
Yeah.
So, too, we have to do an action in order to prevent, to make challenges.
Sure. You're right on that. Okay, let's talk about that. that one as a one. The question is, ain't some comes this very question. It ain't some on ace.
Correct?
So therefore, since we say ain't some on ace, so therefore we have to go to war, you know, and acquire Israel, which of course you find in the Torah, but still Hamelach went to war in order to acquire Israel.
Right.
Correct. But there's one thing you have to remember, you see, and this is very important. This is what the Pesukim say. Plus, Perikas again, long Perikas. So it is. Hishomer l'Hashem. Hishomer l'chol pentishkach es ha-reshem alekecho. L'vilti shumor mitzvaysa v'mishkata v'chukaysa v'asher adoichi mitzanach ha-yayin. Pentecho v'sabato. U'vatim te v'tibne v'yashavta. So you'll forget the mezuzah and you build up your own arms. Of course, in Israel. But the most important action, the one indispensable action, is what? What is the one action that's indispensable for keeping Eretz Yisrael? Right, exactly. And if you have 50 wars and 100 wars, you have the greatest generals and the greatest military experts, but you don't keep to the coast, what does that say? That's right. You won't be there. You won't stay there. So you see one thing.
True.
Ain't someone on ice. That's right. Well, Yisrael had to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And that was the Moroccan didn't want to go to battle. They backed out. So it was a chait. They let go. Can't sit back and miss hope that happened naturally. But the one action which is indispensable is the action that a person must perform upon himself. Namely, shmiras ha-mitzvos. But without shmiras ha-mitzvos, no matter how many actions you have, you will not be able to have Eretz Yisrael. So that's why, of course, the point to do it. But we must remember what the indispensable path that Eretz Yisrael is. An indispensable path is Shmiras HaMitzvos. Okay? By the way, according to what we're saying, see, we say like this. We say that Avas Eretz Yisrael doesn't exist per se, but Avas Eretz Yisrael is part of Avas Hashem. Why is it part of Avas Hashem? Because it's a means to Avas Hashem. So, in that respect, we differ. And you might say, perhaps, that I mean, descriptively, that we don't have much Eretz Yisrael because it's not Avas Eretz Yisrael, we're saying that a person that doesn't have Avas Hashem and Avas HaMitzvos, there is no such thing about Eretz Yisrael, that's absurd. But simultaneously, we say the converse, that if a person doesn't have Avas Eretz Yisrael, he's lacking Avas Hashem. Because since Eretz Yisrael is the means through which a person can ultimately reach a third Baruch Hu, and the Rambam says that why did Gedolei Yisrael look forward to Yemos HaMashiach? Why? Not because of the multitude of titles that people think that are going to exist and they'll be able to partake of, but because they will have a situation in which they can learn Torah and live the life of Torah to the highest degree. So therefore, the person doesn't look forward to Yemos HaMashiach, a person who doesn't have any Avas Eretz Yisrael, doesn't love Eretz Yisrael, then he doesn't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's synonymous, it works both ways. If you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you must have Avas Eretz Yisrael. And if you don't, then you can't have Avas Eretz Yisrael. So it works both ways. What we're saying is that if you don't have Avas Eretz Yisrael, you don't have Avas Hashem. And if you don't have Avas Hashem, you can't have Avas Eretz Yisrael. Both go together.
You just said that
Avas
HaKadosh is separate entity and
that
also part of
Avas Hashem. Good question. Very good. No doubt. It's part of Avas Hashem. No
question about it. You said that you can compare Avas HaKadosh to Avas Hashem.
That's correct. Ultimately, everything ultimately winds up in Avas Hashem. That's why Avas Hashem is Yisrael Yatara. Focus on Yisrael Yatara. Very good question. The Ram said that the Ram mentioned in Hilchos Deos, the person who is a Tumim de Deos, a person who lives correctly, only has one objective. That objective is Leida As Hashem. And Torah is a means through which you know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes the way that a person meets HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through knowledge. That's the only way. There's no shortcut to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It must be through Das. Like Ram says, well, he Masa V'Rei Chachma Sayyazeta. But without the Chachma, it's impossible. And Ram explains, very interesting, if you look at that base, look at Sayyazeta, that's what Avos Hashem is. Avos Hashem is inextricably tied up with the Chachma Das, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In that beginning, Avos Hashem is without Chachma. It doesn't exist without Torah, without knowledge. Okay, anything else? Okay, now, you see, there's one more point I want to bring in, that, you see, there's a Chazal, an interesting Chazal. Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Perek Tehillim, which says, Nizmor lo Asaf, Elokim bo'u goyim l'nach lo Asafah. It says, Nizmor lo Asaf, the Pasuk, it doesn't all say, and Nizmor, there's no song, to Asaf, Elokim bo'u goyim l'nach lo Asafah. Goyim came into your Nachalah, and they destroy Hechel Kachecha, Pasuk. So, Nizmor is kept, what do you mean, Nizmor? It's not Nizmor. Goyim got into Eretz Israel and destroyed the base of Mikdash. This is Nizmor. She said, Kino. Kino also. Kino means something which is a something which is a said commentary on the situation. Why does it say Nizmor? So, Nizmor says, no. Said, it is Nizmor. Why is it? Because really, a country of Baruch Hu was supposed to destroy Klal Yisrael. But instead, he destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. So it says, the Gemara says, the Gemara uses a funny expression, Shofach es hamasa ala eitzim ha'vadman. He threw his anger out on the sticks and the stones. Like a person gets angry in his house, you know, he, instead of beating somebody up, he breaks the wall. So this is similar, and one of them is making an analogy of Kodesh Baruch
Hu. But he also didn't destroy Israel by destroying their people.
Mm-hmm.
He ultimately destroyed them by destroying
them anyway. Ah, that's, yeah. Meaning destroy them anyway that way. Okay, good question. And moreover, we have to understand, what does it mean? When he said, wait a minute, I thought it was like a person. A person gets angry, he does a stupid thing. Really, he wanted to beat up somebody else. He wasn't even bring burgers to the house. It's a stupid action. Absurd. What is that? Absurd? So the answer is very simple. The answer is like this. Really, what a Kodesh Baruch Hu did, a Kodesh Baruch Hu never does an action which is nonsensical or which is not beneficial. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it was beneficial. Why was it beneficial? Because at that time, you see, the Beis HaMikdash was being used as a seat of corruption. It was being used as an institution for corruption. Because the people were corrupt and they were running Beis HaMikdash. And they were using this as a sign of authority, an official sign, an authoritative sign, that what they are saying is true, what they were saying was corrupt. So therefore, the Beis HaMikdash had to be destroyed. And Terah had to start again for Yechon and Zakai. From one person who began Terah and Yavna and started in its pure form without the Beis HaMikdash. But if the Mikdash would have existed, then Terah would have been destroyed. So that answers both questions. That's why the Baruch didn't really destroy Klal Yisrael. Because what he did was, he saved Klal Yisrael. The way Klal Yisrael was going, they would have had a physical life, but they would have died, they would have suffered spiritual extinction. This way, they might have lost a lot of people. But at least spiritually they kept on going, and that's the whole purpose of the pressure of action. Okay. Similarly, there's Israel. That's why I stand here in Israel. Take what you mean. It says, V'rom l'vavecho v'shachachta s'v'shem o'kecho. Then it says, V'omata k'echi v'itzim v'yodi v'asuli s'achar v'azeh. You see? Then it says, K'agoyim then says, I'dois b'chayim ki avaita v'edim. Who will be destroyed? Why will you be destroyed? Because simply, what is the purpose of Israel? Israel is a means for Torah. But once a person says, Kefi Vayitzim in the other, that is my power and my strength, so then what does it become a means to? Well, it's not a means for terror anymore. It's a means for vanity. It's a means for his own ego. On the contrary, it's a means for something which is exactly against the ideas of terror. Once that takes place, then the Chesed Hashem demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chase those efforts. So, because if that's the case, you're using something which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you to reach him, and you're using it to take you further away. So on the contrary, when he chases, that's what I'm saying. All the cause of there, all the techacha, is really done with chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just do anything just to punish somebody. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu care? To punish us. Why? Punishment is the greatest chesed, because through his actions, he removes us from a situation which was bad for us, and we were involved in a wrong way. And once the situation is removed, now there's a chance for the pious soul to succeed. But if he wouldn't intervene at that point, so then we fall down, because the way we're going, we're going with Mata Rosh, we're going downwards. say. So therefore, all deep, and that's the way it is with all deep, with all deep pecha. That's why the pasuk says anybody that's wrong. Because since that is a means to reach Hashem, if you use it for another means, use it for your ego, then on the contrary, so use it as a means to go away from Hashem, then of course God will take it away from us. And that's the same thing with all. That's not just in terms of ourselves, but that's the same thing with all the brachos and the qualis. That's why all those things, physical world, person's material world is a means for terror. Person uses it for another means, so then Akash Baruch takes it away. Akash Baruch does different actions, no material movement. Because on the contrary, it's something which is driving him away. And if Akash Baruch doesn't do it, then on the day so far on, the Gemara says, why is it that you find that certain tzaddikim have bad lives, Sarah Shana have good lives? You see, Rush Sarah Shana, Akash Baruch will do it. Gemara says, no, it's just the opposite. The Gemara says, the Russia, if Akash Baruch doesn't give a person an inch, and a person keeps on going in his evil ways and he just does not lack materially, so then he is, that's the worst thing. That means HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's not deserving of being saved. But on the contrary, you might see a good person who has a hard life. But the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he is teaching him through reluminance of certain situations which would have harmed him. So on the contrary, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't give a person, we always feel about Telcha, we should try to avoid Telcha. Now on the contrary, Telcha is the greatest chesed. If it wasn't for Tefach, if it wasn't for Chorban, Eretz Yisrael, Chorban Yerushalayim, there would be no Chol Yisrael anymore. It wasn't just done out of Rishus Chalula. Karsh Baruch Hu is, every act of Karsh Baruch Hu is perfection. There is no act of Karsh Baruch Hu performed which is imperfect. The only thing is that many times we don't understand, we can't fathom what the purpose is. But there's nothing that's done just as an Einish. An Einish per se does not exist. What happens is many times when we take certain ideas that we have from childhood, certain ideas about our parents, and we tend to take those same ideas and in that way project them to our Kaddish Baruch Hu. But when we get older, we should really revise these thoughts and see it in an intellectual, mature way. Okay, so there's my next question.
I don't understand why this
person
is would you say it works very well on paper, but how are we supposed to, the last question you didn't answer.
Yeah.
How's the person
supposed to feel about that job, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Let me
say one more point.
See, the question is like this. The way people feel, so you see that we feel, but that's in a certain way, that we feel that it's a means for reaching a special object, correct? Okay. One more thing I just want to mention about that. There's a certain amount, people have a certain amount of pride and nationalism towards their country. Correct? Now, how does Terry feel about that? How does Terry feel about that? Certain amount of pride. Pride in the possession of your country. That's your own, yes. How does Terry feel about that? Positive or negative? Yes,
that
what?
That how about yourself, comes out of Hashem.
Correct. Right. Yeah, I was a sham, correct, okay. But the question is, can a person feel? In other words, my question is this. The people in the world today, not patriarchy, here's the guy what? If people fell in this country, this is my country, there's a certain pride of ownership, right? I mean, basically, when an individual buys a home and he has pride of ownership, that's the way a country collectively feels about their land. I mean, it's the same thing, but it's in a group, rather than on an individual basis. Now, how should we feel towards ourselves? Should we feel that pride of ownership in Eretz Yisrael or not? That's the question. That's the question. Because that's a big factor, right? Yes.
First, let's all feel, we know that Hashem owns that, Hashem controls above everything.
Yes.
So therefore, it's impossible to feel our own, that we own this land.
Yes.
So therefore, it's neglected.
Okay.
But the point that we're supposed to feel within ourselves.
Okay.
A part of Am Yisrael, of Hashem, and a land of Hashem,
yes.
We feel pride towards that.
First thing, in other words, it says, it's impossible, you can only feel pride for something that you accomplish yourself. But since we say Eretz Yisrael is totally dependent upon Hashkacha, in other words, if we live according to this time again, if we don't, right? That's not our conquest. The machinery and the army are only a means to the Kaddish Baruch Hu we're going to give to us, right? So therefore, the ultimate was done by him, not by us. So you can't say only pride, that's your point. That's
so you feel pride, this is the nation of Hashkacha,
right.
This is God's land,
right.
And we feel towards that,
yes.
A pride or shanach or whatever.
Okay. All right.
There is one thing you're missing. In other words, I guess, let's say a person feels that because the person feels pride, because I live the life, because I live and kept with it, everyone keeps the parameters. And there is all, and I know how, right? So could we feel pride in the fact that we get the missus? That we are great, and because of that, we get extra. What do you say about that? Well, it's true, we can't do it. Our conference is only an instrument that I've got to borrow.
Right.
But what about the fact that we are so great and we deserve a win? Should we feel it? Should we feel that way? Is that correct or incorrect? What do you think? Don't say Yahweh, but the Lord will chase them away from your saying. It's a cussing at the Ani of Hashem, the wretches of our device. That God brought the book in his own cussing my wretchedness. They don't deserve it, and I deserve it. No? Lo, because it's a cussing. They don't deserve it, and I deserve it. No? Lo, it's a cussing. The Yosha of the Father called after all the wretches of our time. Not because you are good. He berishas hagoyim ha'ela ar Hashem Elokecha marisham b'panecha ulema'an hokin et ha'dohar ashen nishba ar Hashem ha'osecha la'avram yitzchak ul Yaakov. Correct? Okay. Now, of course, it's not a little contradiction, but he says, al tomar, b'tikasi ha'vi'an ar Hashem uberishas hagoyim ha'ela. No. It says, lo b'tikasko. Ki berishas hagoyim ha'ela ulema'an hokin et ha'dohar ashen nishba ar Hashem ha'osecha. What does it say?
It's because of
Hashem,
and in the first place, it's not because of
Hashem.
That's
right. What's the answer? First says, what's your opinion? Okay. Don't say, because of my righteousness, God brought me to this land to inherit it, and because of the evil of these other nations, God should because you deserve it. Then you have a right to pride. And say, yes, I would say. But the Pasuk says, no, it's not because of your goodness, but it's really because of the Avtacha to the Avos. But there's one thing. The Avtacha to the Avos cannot be fulfilled on if there's an injustice, if it involves an injustice to any human being. You see? Now, if these Goyim are really Tzaddikim, then there will be a Tzaddik to Sashur. On the one hand, God will have made Avtacha to Avram Yisrael Yaakov. On the other hand, it will be an injustice to remove them from the land. You understand? That's why it says Kilo showing. It says the door of the Yashur Hamar, right? Right in the beginning of the by the Brisbane Absorum. Kilo Sholay Mavona Moriadena. What does it mean? That's right. It's the Aftacha is true. But Akash Brahma is an act of injustice. So therefore, in order for the Aftacha to take place, they have to be unjust. But that's a different idea. Really, why are we there? Because of the Aftacha. But something could be problematic here. If the Shiva Omos were a deacon, then God would not be able to act that way. Why? Because it would be act unjustly. But the first pasuk says, no, don't say that there's a comparison here. I am great and they are not good, and therefore we're having God takes me. You know what I mean? That has nothing. That would be you.
See?
But God did give us all the others. Yeah, but that's not because you have not because of you. See? The only time you have pride is because of you. If it's because of others, so then if that person walks around, the person walks around, and is very proud of his father's a great person. So, I mean, it's a natural feeling, but rationally, it's stupidity. Because it's not doing anybody either. He didn't do anything. He was born and he didn't do anything. Right? Rational pride should be based upon the fact that a person's accomplishment. But if a person is just because he happened to be born, so therefore he thinks he's great, it's an absurdity. That's why I said that what is the reason for Eretz Yisrael? It has nothing to do with you. Simply because you are from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. Now that fact, only a fool would take part in that, just saying that he accomplished something, that he was from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. That's the way it was born. The Yaakov worked that way. He didn't do it himself. So that's it. One thing, let me finish it. The Yadata Kilo Bitzit Kosra Hashem Lekechanos Mechor Zadat Telezef Mirishta Kiyam Kishay Ode Fakta. Okay. So the Moshe Rabbeinu tells by Israel that it is his will, it is only because of the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we inherit Israel. So therefore it's like this. It turns out that, of course, Eretz Yisrael is a means to reaching the Torah. So in that sense, as she mentioned before, when you say it's a means, so then it's not, it's everything is from Hashem, correct.
So therefore he cannot fight and say it's mine, but it's given to us by Hashem. It's a mean that only exists as long as we keep the mitzvahs, and otherwise if it doesn't, we don't give mitzvahs everything.
Correct.
And secondly, you can't say it's because of, you can't even say because I was righteous, that's why I got it. So really it turns out like this. That call of Israel is the only nation that has a land through the ultimate truth and has no sense of nationalistic pride.
Point is that Eretz Israel is not from the United States. It's not a country from the United States, and you think,
that's why I say that the way we feel toward Eretz Israel is completely different than the way any other nation feels about its national homeland. It is completely different, because for every other nation it's a matter of national pride, and we can't have any pride. First of all, our whole being there is the Hashem, and secondly, even the fact that he chose us, not because of our thickness. So we can't have any pride at all. The only thing we can say is that we have a place which is a means to reach. When we hear Eretz Israel, you only have to have one thought, namely the Avas Hashem. It's the means to reach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I say again that Klal Yisrael is the only one in the world. We are different in many respects, and we are different in regard to the way we look at our national homeland as well. It is the only one that has a homeland without any nationalistic pride. Yes.
But then we don't say that intrinsically that land,
well, what do you mean when you say special? We say special as a means to reach a better
father.
Need analysis of the year. What do you see? What do you see? What does Ram say? If they conquer, if Dalai Lama would conquer California, it would also be Earth. So anything, Dalai Lama would conquer.
We don't know what the bull is, but it's some sort of bull.
It says the Rambam, as I mentioned in the beginning, that the Rambam says that Eretz Yisrael is any area in which there is kibush of a melech or a navi, according to Rove, with the consent of Rove Yisrael, after the Eretz Canaan is conquered. Then it hasn't been of Eretz Yisrael, but hold on. Okay?
But the thing is that this is the land that was going to be that it is in California. And while it could have been,
I'm saying, there's no question about it that this is the land, right? I'm not saying about it, but she's asking me, is the Kedusha Torah depend upon this? Is there anything physically different than Eretz Yisrael? And I say, no, those other lands can also assume the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Other lands can also have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Not just those lands have to, but other lands can also have the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. You understand what I'm saying?
It's not according to Hashtacha, so how does it,
the Alpaka, you mean that was given to the Alpaka? Yeah, that's what Alpaka is. Alpaka is that the that this will
but
definitely be ours.
Where's the Antara
that any other land is given away? Yeah, that's the Gemara, that's what that. And you can't learn from it. You have to remember.
What would be the reason
for
another land?
Why? Because it's for protection. If our sword was bigger, you need more space, more room. You have to have a.
Yeah,
I agree.
Is that
an Alpaka? Yeah, correct.
So we shouldn't have land as a nationalistic pride that we should stay out for it and we should be proud of that, but we can't feel proud of the fact that we have a land to serve God with.
We should feel, well, I would use the word proud. I would use the word happy. I would say, instead of pride about Israel, I'd say happiness about Israel. That would be a better word.
It's an unselfish pride.
See, pride automatically, I mean, to my mind anyways, pride is something which automatically goes with some type of superiority or accomplishment. So otherwise, what's pride about? I mean, a person is proud. Proud means that you accomplish something, you feel some sense of superiority. But over here, it is simply a land which is a means to reach Eretz Yisrael. So I would say, instead of pride of Eretz Yisrael, I'd say happiness about Eretz Yisrael. I'd put it in one word. I say, other nations have pride, we have happiness.
Different. Okay, so we can be happy.
Right.
Very good.
Yes.
I know this is a little way out, but let's say when
Herschel
was talking about getting Uganda.
Majority of the Jews.
So then,
you can only
accept them
nowadays,
I think.
Okay.
It doesn't doesn't have to be necessarily Aristotle. The math doesn't have to be necessarily Aristotle, but the math accepting. And nowadays, we have a math exception of Aristotle.
Okay, so the math, the way the situation is according
to... Yeah, that's what you're going to have to
Will rise, the bull will return to place where Ram mentioned it.
more clearly in his Igra and Igaret Penguin, so that we will return to Klal Yisrael again before Mashiach comes. He says, Yamod Novi Liyasher Yisrael, Liyasher Yisrael, straighten out the ideas of Israel, over Hokum Liban, to prepare them. Shinema Yeno Shibachem Eliyahu Novi. Then he will go Lola Tamei Atar, Lola Tara Tamei. He's not going to come around to give new Pesachim, new revelations in Halacha. Halacha is going to stay the same. Below the soul of Nashim Shem Bechetzkes Kashrus for Allah Hashem Yishev Sufu Psuun. He's not going to say somebody who's considered a manzer. He's not going to say, I know that he's not a manzer. There's no point of that. Everything will go on in its normal way. He says, Elu Lassum Shalom Ba'olam. The only purpose is to bring peace to the world. Shenema, Ve'eshiv Le'i Ba'olas Ha'olam. Ve'yesh Menach HaKonim Sha'olim. Some say, Shekodim Biyat HaMashiach Yoho Elio. Some say, Elio Elio will return from Mashiach comes. And the Ram says, V'chol Elu HaDivarim. All these things, the Kayotze Gohen, and similar things, Lo Yeda Odom, Eich Niyu, no man can know how they will be, Ad Sheyiyu, until they occur. Why? She Tavorin Stimen Ein, Eich Tal Nevi'im. Because the Nevi'im say that these things in Daniel, that these things are Sosum with Tetsayimim, there is no one to ever know what they are. But Ram says, Ad Sheyiyu. That's Ram says, Ad Sheyiyu. In other words, it means that when it will happen, you'll be able to look back into the thing and be able to say, that's exactly what the pasuk means. But you cannot know beforehand. So, because these things are human. Therefore, because Gamma Chachumin, even Chachmi Yisrael, Chazal, Eilen Kabbalah Dvarim Eilu, there is no Kabbalah in it. And all these things you hear about the Moshe Mishkin's calculations, all these things, that's all natural. Because there is no Kabbalah at all about how these things are going to occur. In Daniel, he says, it's Dvarim, he has Dvarim Sumim Vachasumim, with Kate Tayamim. And these things are hidden, no one knows how they will look up. He says, Gamma Chomim and Kabbal Gramel, El Lufi Hechra Psukim. The only thing that Chom did was, the Chazal, they sat down and they gave probabilities. Well, Lufi Kachyeshen and Lufiyeshen Machlokas with Varmel. That's why you have so many Machlokas about these things, Chazal. Why? Because the Ram says, when Chazal were arguing here, it's not like they were arguing in other places. This was argument based on conjecture, because they didn't have any solid ground. So they were working out probabilities. One thought that the Psukim Mashim this way, the other, they didn't really know 100%. So the Rambam says that Chachmi Yisrael cannot know. Therefore I say, insofar as the Chalav de Gula, we cannot know. And if a person maintains that he knows, then he's denying what the Nevi'im say. But it says, Ket Varm Stum Vachasum, Ket Vav Ket Amen. And certainly none of the things have occurred which are really indicative of Mashiach and of Bi'at HaGoel. Because those things we know, those things that I call Yisrael, this Rambam mentions in Perigid Aleph of Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam mentions in Aleph Adalit. The Inyana of Melech from Beis David, Hogi the Torah. The Melech from Beis David will arise, will learn the Torah of Otev and Mitzvahs Ked David Aviv, Kefitar Shed Iksan V'Shev Alpeh, the Yochov Kol Yisrael, Lelech Bo, Ulechadeh Tadosa. And he'll coerce, means coerce doesn't mean the physical coercion, it's the conviction, he'll convince, better word, he'll convince Kol Yisrael to follow the Torah and to listen to everything Torah says. The Yilochim of Hamas Hashem, Harei Tadacheskes Yom Mashiach. So then, we assume that he's Mashiach. We still don't know. In Masavitz Leah, if he was successful, who bono mikdash from Kamon, he built the Beit Hamikdash, the key Beit Israel, I raised a Mashiach about that. So all these things that will occur, we do not know until they will occur. And to say that you know that the Chalav de Gula is to deny what the Nevi'im say, what the Ne'el Nevi says. Especially if a person would say, and many people do maintain, they say, I mean, they don't feel that way. They feel that Chalav de Gula will go under, but they will deal with their Yahavis. This is against the Torah, absolutely. Because we do not know what our Kaddish Baruch Hu intends. We hope that we won't have any more tragedies. But we don't know if Eretz HaCholila will go under. Then we simply say that's the Ashkacha of Kaddish Baruch Hu, that's the way you saw fit to have it. But we do not know whether this is really a Chalav de Gula, because no one knows until it happens. That's what the Navi says. And even Chachmei Yisrael didn't know. So the idea of Chalav de Gula is really against the Nesara of our Torah. It's some things even dangerous people get. You have to understand something. If you look through our history, study history, you find how many Mashiachim do you have in time immemorial? So many of them, every century says time Mashiach, man, our time Mashiach, our time Mashiach. You have to understand what people say this. People say this, first of all, those people looking for Mashiach, usually are not looking for Mashiach for the real reason. They're looking for Mashiach, because Mashiach will come down, we'll hand out every $1 million bill. That's the idea of Mashiach. Mashiach wins the time of the Torah. Any person that wastes his time living on Torah, I can't understand what he's looking for Mashiach for. Why do you want Mashiach? A shiur, so all the shiur is going to do is a meaningful answer. That's all. And it doesn't have a shiur right now, so what is it going to focus? So at any rate, so the shiur becomes a something that gets tied up with a different style idea of looking for something great to occur. And people don't rationalize their ideas. They maintain an infantile notion of the shiur, which is not the Torah's idea of the shiur. And therefore, they're always looking for, and they always project this thing onto the future, onto the immediate future, so they can enjoy this. This is not their damage here. That's the same thing with the top of the gula. That's when a person's emotions, you say, the same thing with Israel, it's an interesting thing. A person has certain emotions which do not come from his higher makeup. It's almost him. But it comes from the basic part of man, the animalistic part of man, which everybody has. Nationalistic pride. Pride is an emotion which comes from soul looking. Pride is an emotion which comes from animalistic nature. But the thing is, when a certain mitzvah gives the appearance and then falls in line with the lower motivation, a person will jump for it. Jump at it. Why? Because it gives an opportunity to express a base emotion and simultaneously to feel that it's a great mitzvah. So the person will grab onto it. That's a dangerous thing. Because you should know that Yohannes looks at everything differently. It looks at Israel differently, it looks at Ahimishtia differently, it looks at everything a different way. That's the Kedushas and the Kedushas, they have certain issues. Why Israel is that we are different, and everything that we do in life is different. Our food is different, everything, our chasm is different, everything, all the ideas of life, every idea of life is different. Because it's watch yourself, and plus you don't understand it, because it's a whole different idea. Whole way of life is different. So therefore, there is always a danger. As I said, the danger is when we have an idea of Shia, it comes from an infantile base motivation. But since Mashiach is mentioned as a friend thing, all the things, so this base motive grabs on them, and people really embrace it and consider it to be the ultimate. Following it? Actually, it's not really the ultimate, something which is coming from base motivation on their part. It's different. Mashiach is different than the way people are. Mashiach is a great soul. Yes?
Because people like Devar and Sanders, that's something we have to do with them.
Have an image in their minds, and they should be able to feel closer.
That's what I know.
That's The reason for that is that a person is not aware that everything that he has belongs to God. But in Eretz Yisrael there's a special awareness of the fact that this land was given to us by God, which means that we do not have ownership in it. It's a certain awareness of the reality of life, which is that we're all dependent upon God for our very sustenance, and that our possessions don't really sustain us. That is also reflected in the Ashgacha, which is mentioned in the Pasuk, Eni Hashem Elokecha Bo Mireis Hashanah V'Arach Hashanah. That's why there's Halach of Shemitah, which reflects this idea as well. That's what the Gemara means, called Dabu Chutzlowski Eno Laka, because he doesn't have this awareness. This awareness comes through the Halacha, Hilchos Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, which gives us this awareness.
There's a Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka that says, what is the Kedusha Yisrael? My Kedusha, so the Rambam says, that you bring Omer. There was another halacha, I just don't remember it, the Rambam offhand. Alright, the rest of this tape is, it has some questions, some discussion pertaining to Yisrael. There was a gap, however, between this statement and the discussions.
One of the students presented a proposition. He said, a person should be proud. He's proud of Eretz Yisrael. And he loves Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael signifies standing up for our rights. To this we replied, does a person stand up for his rights better when he is in an adverse condition or when he is in a good condition? Definitely when he is in a more adverse condition. Then, is having your own land, fighting with tanks, is that more adverse or less adverse? Certainly less adverse. Having your own land, again, is more adverse or less adverse? Certainly less adverse. Therefore, if you are proud of Eretz Yisrael because of standing up for their rights, actually, you don't want Eretz Yisrael. What you're looking for is the Warsaw Ghetto. A second argument was, are you proud of a person who does something intelligently or not intelligently? Certainly intelligently. Now, let's say, for instance, a person who would be defending a house, defending his own home when there was no home in existence. Would you be proud of such a person or ashamed? Certainly, one would be ashamed because it represents the stupidity. Now, insofar as Eretz Yisrael is concerned, isn't it true that the whole identity of the Jew, the only difference between a Jew and a non-Jew is Matan Torah? Therefore, if one denies Torah, there is no difference between a Jew and a non-Jew. And yet, most of the people in that struggle fight do deny Torah. So therefore, they maintain that there is a difference between a Jew and a non-Jew, but we know the difference does not exist. Therefore, they're fighting for something which is non-existent. So therefore, we should be ashamed of them, not proud of them. The third argument, which was mentioned in class, was the question of whether a person should have a certain feeling when he sees the wall or not, or if he sees a place of Kvaros, of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, should he have a certain feeling or not? To this we reply that that feeling is because of a relationship between you and something which is great. Therefore, as by way of a mashal, we said, if Avram Avinu would come into the room, would step into a room, certainly we would feel we'd be relating to him. If he spoke to us, we'd be relating to him even more. If he said that after class he wishes to speak to two boys, these two boys would certainly be relating to them more than the rest of the class. And if we would ask him about how he enjoyed living in Ilone Mamre, then this would be even a closer relationship. If we would ask him about his ideas, certainly this would be the closest. Because the essence of the man is none of these previous things, but really his ideas. That was the... those are the things which differentiate Avram from everybody else. Therefore, he who relates to Avram through ideas relates to Avram on a higher level. We then show that when a person relates on a higher level, he does not simultaneously relate on a lower level. Because if a person was following an elephant track, so he would be relating to the elephant by way of his track. But when he found that the elephant itself, it would be absurd for him to relate to the elephant by way of his track when he has the elephant itself. Therefore, a person does not relate on a high level and lower level as simultaneously. When he has the higher, he doesn't need the lower. The lower vanishes. Therefore, he who relates to Avraham Avinu by virtue of his ideas does not need to relate to him by virtue of the other things, because he actually is relating to him on the highest possible level. Therefore, we said that one who studies Torah is relating to Avraham Avinu on a high, to a much greater degree than one who looks at his grave. And the same thing with the wall of the Beis HaMikdash. The essence of the wall is not the physical wall, but the ideas of the wall. So he who learns the Hilchos Beis HaBchira relates to the Beis HaMikdash to a greater degree than one who looks at the wall. The union of Meshtavach HaKivrei Avos has nothing to do with this. Meshtavach HaKivrei Avos is not just sightseeing. Meshtavach HaKivrei Avos as a concept, because Meshtavach HaKivrei Avos is a form of tshuva. Because it shows you that a person is a chote because of false ideas, and because of his, and false ideas come from his imagination. Therefore, when he sees a grave, he sees that it breaks the imagination, because he sees the reality of his death, and also sees the only thing that is eternal are the true ideas of these people.
We must say, though, that we do maintain that if a person must do something, it's possible that a person must have an emotional experience in order to bring the true idea. I mean, this is definitely so in the Kala Tarakula. So therefore, we would say that if a person actually is benefited by Kivyavos or by sightseeing, certainly this would be good for him, but he is definitely not on the level of one who relates by virtue of the true ideas.